What's up, football fans? Welcome to the fourth episode of Deep Balls, the NFL Picks podcast with Jackson Bevins and me, Danny Kelly. We do this for field goals every week. We talk about every game, go through, make our picks. You can sign up and get in our picks group and kind of play along with us. And it kind of makes watching games over the weekend more fun. You have a little bit more at stake, even further than your fantasy football team. So yeah, it's just a lot of fun. And so without further ado, let's just get right into this. Jackson, we were talking a little bit before the show. This is kind of a crazy week for Pick'em. A lot of really tough games. What do you think?
Yeah, it is. And you know, things are always squirrely at the beginning of the year, but this is usually about the time where you start to have some, start to feel a little bit more confident about the various teams. And there's just a lot of them where you've got in my mind, a slightly inferior team, but they're playing at home.
Yeah.
So, you know, it seems like the better teams are largely on the road this week. So, or in a lot of cases anyhow. So it'll be interesting to hear what you thought as you're going through these games. Cause I wrestled with half a dozen of them.
Yeah. I mean, I'm the same. Yeah. It's just, it's like you said, there's better teams generally on the road, but not by a great margin. So that kind of throws off your picking strategy a little bit. And still, I don't think we really know who teams are. A lot of these teams, you know, a lot of the teams this year have, I mean, there's only a few that really look dominant, and the rest are kind of like one week they're really good, the next week they're okay, the next week they suck. So, you know, going through each of those teams, it's like I still don't know the identity of some of these teams. So it's been tough. But, you know, last week we both improved after an atrocious week two. I went 13-3 last week after getting only two correct in week two. So that was a nice little change up, get back on the old horse and try and restore some of my credibility. And I'm sitting at 27-21 on the season now, which is in the 60th percentile for the nation. Is it worldwide or nationwide?
I imagine worldwide, but I also imagine that most of the action's in the United States.
Yeah.
Sounds better to say you're in the 60th percentile worldwide, though.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's say that. Yeah. And then Jackson had 12 wins, his season high as well, to put him at, what are you at, 30-18 on the year, which is really good. It's 86th percentile worldwide. Kind of climbing back out of that gutter for that week two created for a lot of people. How'd you feel about last week?
Good. You know, the swing game kind of for me and you and the group, really, the one that people were most divided on was Buffalo, Miami. And I took Miami in that one and was astounded at how badly they got beat.
You're a Miami lover.
I am. There's a lot to like there, or so I thought.
Right.
They look really like a not very good football team. So, but this is kind of what the first month of the season is for, is learning. And, you know, that one, that would have been a pretty good swing in the overall with that one. Cause like I said, the group was split pretty 50-50 on that one, but I was one of only three or four folks to pick the Eagles against the Jets, which is crazy to think about that.
Yeah.
Perspective. So that bought me a game on everyone.
Nice. I did. I picked the Jets in that one. They were surprisingly – I shouldn't say they were surprisingly bad. The Eagles, to me, were surprisingly good. I guess it was kind of fun to see them get back on track. I'd written about them last week, how they basically just weren't executing. And I got kind of a lot of flack from people on that just because everyone kind of wants to say that Chip Kelly is an idiot, I think, at this point.
Yeah.
Because of all the stuff that he did during the offseason in terms of, you know, trading and cutting and some of the out of left field type decisions that he made. So
sounds familiar.
Yeah. It was kind of cool to see him, or I guess not him, but the team bounce back and play really well against a really good defense in their place. And they kind of get their season back on track, keep it from going in the gutter. And so now you kind of never know what you can get from them. So going forward, they'll be a team to watch. Let's just get right into these picks. Thursday night game this weekend is actually, or I should say this week is a pretty good one. I think it's Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Obviously the Steelers are without Ben Roethlisberger. He has a sprained MCL or something along those lines. But Baltimore's 0-3, and they seem to be kind of out of whack right now, even though they played Cincinnati tough, kind of came back last week. The lead traded hands, I think, three times in the fourth quarter before the Bengals were able to put them away. But, man, the Ravens just aren't as good as I thought they were going to be. What do you think on this game?
Well, I would have felt really confident taking Pittsburgh before the injury. As you know, I don't like taking the road team in a Thursday game just kind of on principle unless they're overtly more talented than the home team, which I don't think is the case in this one. But you're also talking about a backup quarterback preparing on a short week. And
yeah,
I am certain that there are different game plans in place for Ben Roethlisberger and Michael Vick. They're very, very different players. And so implementing that new game plan, what's that going to mean for Antonio Brown, who, you know, could run his routes and catch passes from Roethlisberger with his eyes closed? Is going to be a different feel. Ball's coming out of the other hand now. What does this mean for Le'Veon Bell? Our team's going to stack against the run more. It's just going to be interesting to see what Pittsburgh, who's been one of the most efficient offenses in the NFL for the last couple of seasons, what they're going to look like with Michael Vick. Vick could come out and be terrible. We just don't know. And if he's terrible, I don't think they win. Baltimore, I think, is better than their record. They've played right up to the level of competition so far this year, and just, you know, whatever the one notch below it has been. And that's really surprising. I mean, they have 3-1 possession losses, and that's tough. That's really tough. So if this were in Baltimore, I think I'd take the Ravens. But it is really disconcerting to me that they haven't been able to get that offense going, and that Justin Forsett, who should be a monster in a Mark Trestman system, he's perfectly built for it, hasn't gotten going. And so I just think until they find that offensive identity and aren't reliant on Steve Smith going berserk to get them points. Yeah. I got to go with Pittsburgh on this one. What do you think?
I think Baltimore, to me, it came down to the quarterback question. I don't think that Michael Vick is going to be very good. Just in general, obviously it'll help to have a week of practice as the starter and all that, but he's been a turnover machine over the years. Baltimore kind of plays the same style of football as Seattle does, in a sense, in that they want to limit turnovers and play the slow game, run the ball, play really good defense, all that stuff. So I went with the away team, even though, Pittsburgh is a hard place to play. I just think the Joe Flacco factor is kind of the difference in this game, even though it's two teams that have played each other a whole bunch over the last couple of years or whatever, obviously since their division.
For the last 10 years, as a whole, this has been the best rivalry in the NFL.
Yeah. I basically went with two factors in this game. I think Baltimore is better than their record would indicate. I think, I've watched their first three games. They kind of, their defense hasn't been as good as you want or as consistent, and same with their offense. But at the same time, they've scored points in bunches at times, and they've played really good defense at times. So I'm still kind of waiting for them to put it all together. But I just think the big factor to me is that Ben Roethlisberger is not playing in this one. I think that's going to be the biggest difference in the game. And I think that, I think the Ravens are going to, come out of this one with a win. So, they're actually favored on the road, in this one, I think probably because of that reason. And, that'll be obviously a fun Thursday night game. And obviously the other thing is they don't really have to travel far for this one. It's kind of, it is a road game on a Thursday night, but they don't have to go very far. It's not like a cross-country flight or anything like that. So that's another factor to take into account. But Thursday night, that'll be a lot of fun to watch. There's a game in London this weekend. It's I don't know who the home team is technically in this one, but it's the Dolphins and Jets in London. Who did you have in this one?
Yeah, I still think that Miami is a better team, but they are just playing so lousy, and I can't imagine having to go through the nightmare of halfway around the world. Well, not from Miami. A long multi-time zone trip to a place where probably most of these players have never been before, with different money and different language and cars on the other side of the road and all sorts of stuff that just takes players out of the rhythm that matters so much to them. And then, yeah, maybe that stuff doesn't matter a whole lot to most people, but you know, having that comfort level and knowing what you're going to be doing 3 days before the game, 2 days before the game, the day before the game, the morning of, that matters a lot to athletes. And so I think the team that is playing with a sense of identity and kind of has a more cohesive purpose is going to thrive a little bit better in that situation. And there's just no question right now that that's the Jets. So I do have the Jets in this one. They're a 1.5-point favorite, but I will not be surprised at all if Miami wins.
Wouldn't that be a bitch? I picked the Jets as well. I like the Jets defense a lot, as we've talked about on this podcast before. You know, I think that Ryan Fitzgerald Patrick is a he's a jag sort of, in the sense that, you know, he's not you don't really get that excited about him, and I don't.
Yeah, but he's been jagging it for a long time in the league.
Yeah. So, yeah, basically, I really like Bowles. I think he's going to get them ready to play. I think Miami is reeling at this point, and it kind of feels like they're out of sorts in terms of, you know, just not – no one's doing what they wanted to do. They got their asses kicked on at home. So, yeah, I went with the Jets on this one, and I didn't really think about it all that much. I like the Jets a lot more than – I think maybe I like them a lot more than I did at the beginning of the year, and I think I might like them more than a lot of people do now. But, man, that defense just can create turnovers. And
yeah, they can.
They are just flying around and have great talent. So that's why I want that. Moving on to another AFC South barn burner, Jacksonville and Indianapolis in Indianapolis. The Colts are favored by 9 in this one. What do you have?
The Colts, you know, I will very rarely mess with a spread that's bigger than a touchdown. I don't know that the Colts are as good as I thought they were before the season, but I'm also not freaking out about their start. They were 0-2 last year also, and they made it to the championship games. They've got a lot of new components that are obviously still trying to get comfortable. There was one interesting thing I saw last week with the Colts when they had the big lead and then gave up like 27 straight points to the Titans and had to come back and score. About T.Y. Hilton and Andre Johnson and Frank Gore and now Dante Moncrief and all of these guys who, you know, are kind of expected contributors. But when the game was on the line, on the last two plays, Andrew Luck targeted Philip Dorsett, their high pick wide receiver. So Luck is at a point where on two straight plays, they ran plays where I think he was his first read and ended up getting the game-winning touchdown. If he's got another weapon and that starts clicking, I mean, I think Dorsett can be great in that system. So I saw a lot towards the end of that game that looks sustainable to me with their offense. And I just don't see Andrew Luck committing 3 turnovers a game. He's committing 3 turnovers a game so far this year. He's not going to commit 48 turnovers this year. Like, that's going to get tightened up. So Jacksonville's best game would beat an off game by the Colts, but I don't anticipate either of those things happening.
Yeah, and I mean, you said it in terms of you don't really want to mess with a 9-point line. Like, we're doing picks. We're trying to get the right pick. This is kind of the easy pick. Jacksonville got their asses kicked last week. You know, I still like Jacksonville and the future of that team. I think they've got some talent there, but I just don't think that, you know, they're at that point yet. I think, like, you're right. I think the Colts are going to get it figured out a little bit better before it's all said and done. And, you know, like you said, it's interesting that Dorsett's been a bigger part of the game plan. Dante Moncrief has been really good. Man, they just got some talented receivers on that team. And as the year goes on, I think those guys will step up more. So, you know, the whole Andre Johnson thing is kind of almost irrelevant at this point. So anyhow, I picked the Colts as well. That just was, you know, kind of a logic pick at this point. Moving on, we got Texans at Falcons. Falcons are a surprise, 3-0 team. Dan Quinn has those guys kind of flying around on defense, and their offense has just been ridiculously good. Who did you pick in this game?
I've got the Falcons, and you know, I think that they're kind of a legit 3-0, to be honest with you. I mean, yeah, they've been late wins and they've been comeback wins, and in most cases that's not sustainable. That just might be a lucky streak. But the sample size is big enough. And statistically speaking, I'm not talking about in Super Bowls or in playoff games. I'm just talking about in regular season games, in crunch time. Matt Ryan is the best clutch quarterback in the NFL. His numbers in the fourth quarter when tied or trailing, and, you know, maybe it's just random variable that happens to fall in his favor, but, you know, now he's got 20-some under his belt. They're astounding. I mean, it is unbelievable. And, I mean, Seahawks fans are all too familiar, right? 2012.
Yeah.
That dream run got ended by it. And for whatever reason, especially at home, Matt Ryan is like a Drew Brees in his prime level quarterback with the game on the line. And I just don't see anything from the Texans that makes me think they're going to go in there. I mean, they sweated out a victory against the Buccaneers last week just to get to 1-2. I just don't think they're that good. And I think the Falcons are a legit contender for double digit wins and a home playoff game.
Before the season started, I picked the Falcons as well in this game. Before the season started, you know, everyone was talking about Dan Quinn, blah, 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 how great he is. And I really think he's a good coach. I really liked the staff he put together there too. It's funny because I've been a big fan of Kyle Shanahan, even though I think the general, thought on him is that he's garbage or something. I don't really know what the general thought is, but I just don't think he has that great of a reputation. I really like him. And his offense has been really good so far with the weapons that they have there. We saw Devonta Freeman run all over the Cowboys last week. In addition to, you know, the logical thing of feeding Julio Jones, who would have thought, you know,
yeah.
He's just taken over.
I mean, the numbers that he's putting up right now are indescribably good.
Yeah. And the game plans have been really good too. It's not just like him beating people one-on-one all the time. It's like,
no, you see that play they ran for the go-ahead touchdown last week?
Remind me which one you're
doing. Oh, they had, you know, their goal line formation, and I mean, it wasn't anything revolutionary, but they had Jones split out wide left and he came running through like he was going to take a fly sweep. And cut right in front of Ryan as he took the snap, and they go play action. And then it was just bootleg out, like sprint right to Julio Jones, who went from a jog to a sprint right as soon as, you know, right before the ball snapped. Yeah. And it was just amazing to see that he ended up getting like 4 or 5 yards of separation on a 3-yard touchdown pass. Like his ability to just anticipate, okay, my guy's caught in traffic as he's trailing me through. Boom, there I go. The snap perfectly timed. I mean, it seems so simple, but that was a really creative way to get the ball to a special player in a short yardage situation. A lot of similar to what we saw earlier, you know, on Monday night with Aaron Rodgers and Randall Cobb, those short yardage touchdown plays, right? Just find a way to give them a little bit of space.
Yeah.
And you're right. The game plans have been great. Really, really creative in finding ways to get it to Julio Jones. Then Devontae Freeman, holy cow.
Yeah. I mean, he looked really good. It's like the offense was always supposed to be like their strong suit, but it's even better than I expected. I'm bullish on Atlanta. I think, you know, their defense hasn't really been that good. They've given up a lot of points, but it's still kind of early. And you know, I think Dan Quinn is still kind of figuring out what he has in personnel and stuff. So we'll see how that goes. Yeah, I picked Atlanta in that one, and that'll be a fun one to watch. The next game we got on the slate here is the Panthers at Bucks. I guess it's not that surprising. The Panthers are favored by 3 on the road here. You know, obviously the Bucks have had some success. They beat the Saints. They, you know, they're having the growing pains with Jameis Winston, and as you'd expect, but he's done some good things as well. What do you expect in this game?
I was actually kind of tempted to pick Tampa Bay. They looked they looked adequate last week against the Texans, and, you know, looked borderline good the week before that at New Orleans. So I'm tempted to take them at home, but I think Cam Newton is playing the best football of his and he looks comfortable. He looks really, really confident. We know their defense is good. Jonathan Stewart, I think, still has it.
Mm-hmm.
But what I keep seeing when I watch Carolina play is both on offense and defense is they go forward. Like, I don't know that any team goes forward on both sides of the ball as consistently. They don't sit back in defense. Everything is forward moving. Mm. You know, they run it a ton. Even most of their passes are off, you know, play action from the shotgun. So they have this mentality of just moving forward all the time. That's really cool to watch. And I think Cam's a great quarterback for that. So I do have Carolina going into Tampa Bay and winning. A 3-point spread seems about right because these aren't necessarily good football teams. I just think they're football teams with good players.
Yeah. I picked the Panthers as well. Just I like the defensive factor in this one. I think that Carolina's defense is going to do some things to Jameis Winston. Although it does hurt them that Charles Johnson is out now.
Yes.
For at least
– Kuechly still out?
7 weeks, I guess. What's that?
Is Kuechly still out?
I don't know. That's a good question. That's probably something I should have looked up. But regardless, just overall, I think they have a lot more talent on the defensive side of the ball. And I think that's going to cause problems for Winston. And you know, it's going to turn into, you know, him trying to run away from the rush the whole game, I think. So that's why I picked them. I just think, you know, Tampa Bay's getting better at this point with their quarterback, and eventually, you know, they'll kind of figure it out and be a more of a challenge to teams, but I just don't think that they're there yet. I think he's still trying to figure it out. And so that's why I went the Panthers. This wasn't like a lot of thought for me. I think Carolina's hot and they're confident and they're going to go in there and win. Moving forward, we got the Giants at Bills. The Giants have been surprisingly competent, I think, on offense. I don't know if anyone else thinks that, but I think that they can score in bunches if they want. And like we talked about last week, Odell Beckham can take over a game. We saw that happen in against Washington last week on Thursday Night Football. What do you think for this one?
Yeah, it's the Giants are better than I thought they'd be this year, or at least I think they are. But I think the Bills are really good. You know, Kenneth Arthur was spent a lot of time before this season talking about how he thought the Bills were going to be really good this year. And they've looked great. I mean, yeah, they gave up all those yards and points to New England, but they still were only down by one score when that game ended.
Yeah.
And other than that, they've looked excellent. So I might have some hesitation if it was in New York, even though the two cities are close. But at home, I see no reason not to think Buffalo wins. Tyrod Taylor looks like the real deal.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he looks really, really sharp already. And that offense can go. Whether Shady McCoy is healthy or not, that offense can go. Carlos Williams looks great. Charles Clay is one of the better open field receivers as a tight end. Of course, they got the receivers with Watkins and Woods. So that team can score. We know their defense is good.
They got Percy too. Don't forget about him.
Yeah, right. How could
I? He's actually, I guess, leading their team in targets per snap or something like that. So he's been a big factor for them. You know,
that's cool. Good. You know, when Percy's rolling, regardless of whatever happened here, when Percy's rolling, he's still like the type of player that will make you a fan of football.
Oh yeah. I still love Percy Harvin as a player. I was really bummed that it didn't really work out here because he was one of my favorite players before he came over here. Super stoked when he became a Seahawk. It didn't really work out in this offense. And obviously there's the personal stuff on the side, but man, he's just an exciting player to watch. And it's kind of cool to see him getting more. I don't want his career to be over or anything like that. You know, he's a fun player to watch. So it's cool. Like you said, Tyrod Taylor, he's been way better than I expected. I expected him to be kind of like a game manager type, but he's already, you know, passed. He's passing for 75% almost. percentage completion wise, and then he's averaging 9.2 yards per attempt.
That's crazy. He's
116 rating. He's rushed for 96 yards and a touchdown. He's just been a lot better than I think anyone expected. You know, I remember when during the offseason they were talking about, like, I think it was Rex Ryan or someone had been quoted, like, Tyrod Taylor could start, and everyone, like, scoffed at it, you know?
That also sounds familiar.
And so, yeah. And I had actually heard just kind of through the grapevine that Rex Ryan had called Pete Carroll and talked to him about how to use Tyrod Taylor and kind of that kind of stuff. So it's kind of fun seeing them experiment and do their thing kind of in a similar style, like really strong defense and game management point guard style offense. So yeah, the Bills are a cool team to watch this year, I think. And I think they'll win pretty easily in this one. So I picked them as well. Moving forward, we have a real, real corker of a game. The Bears and Raiders in Chicago. Oakland is actually – I shouldn't even say that because Oakland's kind of a fun team to watch at this point.
They are a fun team to watch.
They throw it all over the yard. Derek Carr is emerging as a potential star in the league, as is Amari Cooper. And then they've also got, you know, Michael Crabtree is a good possession receiver for them. Got some interesting players on offense like Michael Rivera, Marcel Reese. Latavius Murray is looking like he could be the real deal. You know, they're really young, but they're kind of fun to watch. And then obviously on defense, they've got Khalil Mack and some other exciting players. What do you think of this game?
It's tough doing this on as the season goes on because you have so many players who are questionable. And, you know, a lot of players who are even healthy sit out Wednesday practice. And so as you look over the injury reports and try and make these picks, it's so difficult. There's a chance, sounds like a chance that Jay Cutler plays. Sounds like there's a chance that Alshon Jeffrey plays.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a pretty decent offense when they've got those two and Martellus Bennett and Matt Forte. Like, that's a team that can score enough points against a team like the Raiders to win. But I don't know if it's Jimmy Clausen. I think the Raiders win this one. So, I think they could beat Cutler too, but I'm going with Oakland. If I felt more confident about who the Bears would start, and maybe later in the week, I'll wish that I had could switch my pick, but I am going with Oakland simply because I'm unsure about the Bears offense.
Yeah, I went with Oakland as well. I was kind of assuming that Cutler won't play. They're kind of selling the farm at this point. So it doesn't really feel like they're in desperation mode to win a game. So I don't know why they would rush Alshon or Cutler back at this point. I just think even with Cutler, I might even still pick the Raiders, honestly. They just kind of feel like they're on fire right now, that they're playing really confident. They're a young team. You know, they kind of remind me of the Seahawks of 2012 a little bit in the sense that, you know, just young, really enthusiastic, kind of like, just coming together as a team. So that's kind of how they remind me, and they've got some good pass rush people. And I might pick Oakland even if Cutler plays, but regardless, I went with Oakland in this one. So have we actually had any differences yet? You picked Pittsburgh, I picked Baltimore, and then since then we've picked the same teams.
Okay. So we might have our head-to-head week decided tomorrow.
Yeah. We got, Philly at Washington. I was watching the Thursday night game with you last week, and you were extremely frustrated watching Kirk Cousins to the point where I think you even tweeted Kirk Cousin blows or something like that.
I would never.
So I would imagine that you're picking the Eagles in this one. They're favored by 3 on the road. Washington, you know, they've got some pieces and they've been able to run the ball, and Matt Jones has been exciting. And, you know, here and there, there's some things to be excited about, but overall, I don't think they're a good team. I picked Philly in this one. I think that they've kind of figured it out and they've got their confidence back, and that'll kind of, you know, snowball and eventually they'll get going to what they should be. So I think that they'll win this one. What do you have in this game?
Philly. I'm still bullish on Philly. I thought that they would be an NFC finalist this year, and I'm still not convinced that they aren't. If they don't beat Washington, it's time to reevaluate. But I'm still of the mind that they're a couple tiers above the Redskins, and the Redskins have played some nice quarters of football so far, but they haven't really played a good game yet. And I haven't seen enough to make me think that they'll start now. So I'm going with Philly on the road in this one.
All right. Another agreement for us. We move down to one that we could be in a disagreement about. We got Kansas City at Cincinnati. I think this is going to be a really interesting game. I was glad to see that the Chiefs made it interesting against the Packers in the second half. Obviously, the Packers kind of dominated the first three quarters or so of that game and kind of allowed Kansas City to sneak back in. But I think that Kansas City is a good team. Really good defense, really good pass rush. They got some weapons on offense. Kelsey and Macklin are really good. I actually think Alex Smith has played all right, considering he's not necessarily like a chance taker or anything like that. But it's kind of a funny game because in some ways they're very similar teams in terms of, you know, the whole Andy Dalton factor. You know, he's played out of his mind this year so far. And yeah, that's kind of the difference for Cincinnati that as they, you know, over the last couple seasons. Can Dalton keep it going is one question. And is this defense good enough to, you know, make them a real AFC contender? Looking first, what do you think is going to happen in this game?
Two teams that I think at their best can hang with the big boys. But I think Cincinnati has done a lot more to show that they can hit that ceiling than Kansas City has. Cincinnati's been, I mean, outside of the strange disappearance of Jeremy Hill, Cincinnati has been great on all aspects of their offense. Good Andy Dalton has been here all season. AJ Green looks uncoverable. Tyler Eifert has emerged as a big weapon. Gio Bernard never left. So that's a team with a defense as good as Cincinnati's is that can score, look like they could score 30 every week. That's a team that can compete deep into the playoffs. And if this is the Andy Dalton that we're going to keep seeing, I think that they could really push for a deep run. So I've got Cincinnati winning at home. If this was in Kansas City, you know, Kansas City enjoys one of the better home field advantages in the NFL. I might switch this pick, but Cincinnati minus four sounds about right to me. The thing about a team like Kansas City is even when things aren't clicking, they've got a player who can almost win a game by himself. And when Jamaal Charles is going, he's kind of one of those players that makes everything else just matter less. And sometimes a team that's a little worse but not that much worse can win with a superhero performance. I just think Cincinnati's been great against the run, and I think they probably win this by a touchdown.
Yeah, it's. I was watching I have an article coming out tomorrow on Andy Dalton. I was watching their games. They have last year, I think, I need to double check, but I'm pretty sure last year Marvin Jones got hurt. And so now they've got kind of all their guys back. Marvin Jones, really pretty good player, underrated player. They also have Mohamed Sanu, who's, you know, good physical guy. He's one of those guys that'll like run people over. They actually used to even like give it to him in the backfield sometimes as a running back. And then obviously AJ Green is fucking unstoppable. They got Tyler Eifert, who is turning into a huge weapon for them. And then obviously Hill and Bernard, they've got a freaking talent on that team. It's crazy. It's not terribly surprising that kind of now that the whole core is back together, I think they could really go off this year. Obviously they need to get Hill going, I think, you know, for my fantasy football team at least. but I think, you know, they have all the pieces on offense. And so it's, you know, they're kind of a fun team to watch in that sense. So as long as Andy Dalton doesn't totally implode like he has in the past, which, you know, I don't think he necessarily will. I think, you know, that's kind of his reputation, but that doesn't mean he definitely will. They're going to be definitely a team to watch. I've kind of underestimated them at the beginning of the year, and I think it related to the whole Andy Dalton narrative. But so far, he's been playing balls out, and so they're a fun team to watch. Moving on to the Cleveland or to the Browns at Chargers. I don't know what to make of the Browns. I guess, are they still starting McCown this week? I assume so.
Yes.
At the same time, I don't really know what to make of the Chargers either. You know, Philip Rivers hasn't been that good the last 2 weeks. He's made a lot of turnovers, and the Chargers haven't looked, you know, as good as I thought they might be. But then again, I think they're at home. They are at home this week, and I think that they'll play a lot better at home. And I kind of easily picked the Chargers in this one just because I don't have any faith in the Browns. But what did you get in this one?
I've got the Chargers. I mean, I still think the Browns are very good. And I think early in the season in San Diego, you've got to be pretty good to beat the Chargers there. The Chargers are off, but they don't look like they're that far off. And
yeah,
Keenan Allen looks like a certified Randall Cobb-esque player this year.
What the hell?
Like, he's uncoverable. And we saw that a little
bit. He's on pace for 155 catches.
Yeah, right, which exactly. So, you know, I do think they're good. I really, really like their running back combination with Gordon and Woodhead. Mm-hmm. I think they can – I don't think you have to play great defense to beat the Browns. Chargers might not play great defense, but they still got a good offense. And Phillip Rivers is very, very good at home. He's very, very good early in the season. So, I've got San Diego pretty comfortably.
Yeah. All right, still 1-1 pick difference so far for us. I imagine this game is probably going to be no different. We got the Packers at 49ers. It looks like right now the 49ers are a steaming pile of crap, but you just never really know with them, especially, you know, coming back home. Maybe that will make a difference. They look pretty damn good week one against the Vikings there. But, man, again, we were watching Aaron Rodgers on Monday Night Football, and he was just masterful. I mean, he was just dictating the entire game. He could do whatever he wanted to do, essentially. And I just think, you know, he's just too good. I don't think San Francisco's built right now to stop a guy like him. So I went with Green Bay pretty easily on this one. They're favored by 8.5 on the road, which I think kind of speaks to the state of the 49ers at the moment. What do you pick in this game?
The Packers. The Packers look so good on offense right now. Aaron Rodgers is having one of those stretches where, you know, it's – you only see a few of them like that, you know, where a guy gets this hot for this long. And, you know, losing his top wide receiver is to beat. Eddie Lacy looks really good. James Jones coming back. And that chemistry just being there. And, you know, like I've mentioned before, I don't like to talk about chemistry a lot because it's hard to quantify and it just becomes an opinion thing. But I really think a quarterback's ability to anticipate what a receiver is going to do on an option route or on an underthrown ball or their ability to pick up that he's under pressure, like that stuff.
Or really a scramble situation.
Yeah. And James Jones is just always ready. And he's one of those guys where you mentioned it on Monday. It's like, when did his hands get so good? Like, yeah. They were doing those slow motion instant replays, and the balls would hit his hands coming in hot, and they just wouldn't move. Like they stopped.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think as long as Aaron Rodgers is playing like that, they're probably beating everybody. So, yeah, I think they win. I think they win by a lot.
You kind of hate seeing him because he's on a different team and, you know, they just beat the Seahawks. And so you kind of have that bad taste in your mouth, but man, it's so much fun to watch him play just because the way he like moves around in the pocket, the way he kind of like, he uses all the different skills that you'd really ever want in a quarterback. He's mobile, you know, he can get out and move around when the defense like flushes him from the pocket. He can still throw like a 90 mile an hour fastball downfield if he's on the move. He's smart. He hasn't turned the ball over at home since like the 90s or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, he's just absurd. He's really fun to watch. And we were watching that game on Monday. They ran that same play three times against the Chiefs, and they just couldn't stop it. With Randall Cobb essentially running just a little out route, and then beating the guy to the goal line. Like, I mean, yeah, it was just a lot of fun to watch. Just from a football fan perspective, like, you're witnessing greatness. Just enjoy it. You know, you can't really enjoy the whole Tom Brady thing at this point, but you know, you got another guy that you could enjoy watching just for the pure, like, he's going to be a legend someday. I always enjoy watching the Packers. I used to kind of hate the Packers, but now I just kind of respect them. So
I have a ton of, like, organizational respect for the Packers. Definitely. And if Seahawks fans are honest with themselves, we all should, because they're sort of the model for,
right,
in a lot of ways, for how Seattle's gone about building and retaining their roster. So, we're seeing a great organization playing peak football right now.
Yeah. All right, moving on. This is maybe – I think there was a couple good games this week. This is probably potentially the best one. We got the Vikings at Broncos. You know, obviously there's still questions with Peyton Manning's arm strength, and that's kind of going to just, I think, hang around all year. That's probably never going to go away. I don't think it's as big of a deal as they've made it out to be necessarily. I don't think he obviously doesn't have as strong of an arm as he used to, but I think they can work around it. You know, I went with Denver in this one because I just really like the Broncos defense a lot. I think Minnesota is going to be good, and they're going in the right direction, but I think Bridgewater is still growing, and winning in Denver on the road, you know, that's going to be really tough. That's going to be a tough ask against that defense. And so, I think that Denver will wear them down, and, you know, this is maybe one of those games where you want to bet on Minnesota covering potentially, but I still think that Denver's going to come out with the win. What did you pick in this game?
Well, this is the only game on the schedule, believe it or not, with two teams that both have winning records.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that, you know, that makes this sort of a marquee matchup, but I doubt it'll live up to the hype. I think Denver is better in just about every aspect of playing football than the Vikings are. And that's not a knock on the Vikings. Denver's not really weak anywhere, and they've had trouble getting the running game going, but that hasn't, you know, stopped them really lately. Kind of the last game and a half, they've looked a lot sharper. They are 3-0. That defense is really legit. Like, I think they're the best defense in the NFL right now. Mm. And you just have to be a really good team to beat a defense like that when that defense is at home. Throw in the fact that they still have some really great offensive players. It just seems like too tall of an order for where the Vikings are at.
Yeah, agreed. We can move forward to you know, to me, this is another really interesting game, honestly. I think especially after watching last week, Arizona looks fucking unstoppable right now.
Right.
You know, they're just plowing through teams at this point. They've scored, I think, 95 points the last 2 weeks. And Carson Palmer is, you know, throwing all over the field. You know, Larry Fitzgerald looks like he's 25 again. You know, they're just rolling all over people. Two pick sixes in the first 5 minutes of the game last week. Their defense is like everything that we thought it might be. But that said, St. Louis is maybe one of the defenses set up to kind of challenge them, I think, because they play so conservatively and off the ball that they're not going to be the type of team that gets beat over the top, which is what you kind of seen so far with Arizona. We saw it last week, St. Louis, you know, held Pittsburgh, I think, to 9 or something. Maybe they had
12 to 9. So they held them to 12.
And I mean, obviously that they lost the Roethlisberger in the third quarter, but you held a really good high flying, high octane downfield passing offense in the Steelers, who have some of the best weapons on offense in the NFL and one of the best quarterbacks. You held them to 9 points at your place. Obviously we saw what they did to the Seahawks. You got the front line that can really get after the quarterback. I think they were the team that injured Carson Palmer last year as well, in terms of when they knocked him out and got his, screwed up his knee. And then obviously we saw last week what they did to Roethlisberger. This is just a team that's built to beat teams like this, I feel like. So to me, it's going to be an interesting one. I still picked Arizona just because of what they've done recently compared to St. Louis, who was just so incredibly inconsistent and hard to figure out. But I think St. Louis could give them some problems. It'll be really interesting to one to watch, you know, just because of like what I said, they stay in front of everything. They play the death cushion, you know, or the mm-hmm. cushion of death, as Joe McAtee put it when we were playing them back a couple weeks ago. And so, I don't know. I got that one on my radar. Obviously, it's an NFC West game, so I would anyway. But I think it's a good matchup. What do you think for this game?
Yeah, I'm picking the Cardinals over at home over probably all but three or four teams just out of hand right now. Mm-hmm. And the Rams aren't one of those teams. I think that the Rams' best game, kind of like we were talking about with Jacksonville and Indy earlier, I think that the Rams' best game could be an off game for the Cardinals at home. But that's what it would take. And right now there's no indication that the Cardinals are going to let their foot off the gas. I don't think St. Louis is very good. They might be okay, but you know, the only knock that you've got against the Cardinals so far is that they haven't played anybody good. Well, mm-hmm. the Rams don't really change that in my mind. So I think Arizona wins. I think they probably win by a couple of scores.
Fair enough. All right. Well, we still only have one pick different so far. That could change with this game. We got the Cowboys at Saints. I was just looking it up, actually. The headline I found for Drew Brees is that he feels good about being able to play this week. Adam Schefter says Brees will throw at every practice this week. So there's a good chance Brees will play. That being said, the Saints are kind of a dumpster fire as well. They seem to be kind of offloading everyone. They traded Akeem Hicks today to the Patriots for some random tight end who, like, I don't even know. I can't say his name, but he's definitely not a star. And then at the same time, you got Dallas, who's still without Dez and Romo. They obviously got off to a strong start last week and ran the ball really well against the Falcons, but then they really just struggled on offense in the second half, couldn't do anything. And then, you know, the Falcons did their thing and came back. So I still don't really know what to make of Dallas. I don't know what to make of the Saints. I picked New Orleans regardless because they're at home and they have Breeze most likely. But even last week, they looked okay without him. So, yeah, I kind of just went with the gut on this one. I think, you know, and then there's probably the quarterback factor. What did you pick in this game?
Darn it. I was really hoping this would be a game we disagree on because I was feeling good about this one as sort of a can't call it an upset because Vegas thinks New Orleans will win also. But, you know, you get a lot of folks when they're clicking through their picks, kind of they see 2-1 versus 0-3, and it's kind of an auto click that you have to think yourself out of that at first blush. So I was kind of excited to pick the Saints, but maybe more folks are doing it as well. Yeah, without Romo and Dez, I don't know that they went on the road. I would probably take the home team in this game, regardless of where it was. And so in this case, that's New Orleans. Yeah, Breeze is back. I think that offense will be fine. Ingram looks great. I'm excited to see what Spiller can do in that offense. I'm sure
he's Brandon playing finally.
What's that?
Is Spiller going to play finally?
Yeah. Yeah. They've been increasing his snap count the last couple of weeks. So cool. I'll be curious to see that offense get rolling. I think it'll happen this season. Dallas actually looked really good for the first three quarters against Atlanta, but I don't think they play very good defense, and I think they're going to need to because I don't think Whedon's going to be very good. You know, the rushing game looked great last week, so if New Orleans can't stop the run and takes the pressure off of Whedon, I could see the upset, but I think the Saints win this one.
Get the siren going right now because I was looking. There was someone reporting on Twitter that that the Cowboys were giving Kristen Michael the first team snaps this week at practice. Uh-oh. So something to watch. Obviously, you know,
after the game that Randall had.
Yeah, I don't know. That was weird. Maybe he. I think you know what though. If you look at the game he had, it was all in the first half, and then he got stuffed hard in the second half. So. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they didn't like something he was doing. Maybe he wasn't following his blocks. Maybe he was freelancing too much, whatever it was. something to watch. I only saw one person talking about it. Might even be bullshit, but something to watch, obviously, if you're a fantasy football guy and just Seahawks fans in general. I think, you know, I personally would think it would be fun to see him run behind that line, but maybe he'll never get that chance. Maybe obviously the Seahawks were right about him, but we'll find out. Speaking of the Seahawks, final game on the slate, I'm guessing you went with the Seahawks at home on this one. I did. They're favored by 10 against a Detroit team who seems to be struggling quite a bit to carve out an identity, carve out, you know, anything really. You know, Golden Tate came out this week talking about how opposing defenses are calling out their plays before they run them. They're just kind of they seem to be in a bit of a mess right now. And then the Seahawks at home are pretty unstoppable, even with some of the struggles they've had this year. So those are the two reasons I picked Seattle. What do you got in this one?
Yeah, I've got Seattle. I mean, we've got basically a full season's worth of sample size for Pete Carroll Seahawks in primetime games, and they're 13-2. I don't think they've lost at home in primetime since he's been here. I think that Detroit sort of, they're kind of like a team, you know, like they were just screaming up there the last couple of seasons, building this momentum, like, hey, it might be finally coming together. Stafford was still looking good. Calvin was playing out of his mind. They added Golden Tate. Jordan Bell came out of nowhere. The defense was great. And there's kind of all this hype, like they're going to make it. And I think at the end of last year, they sort of hit their peak, flew too close to the sun. Turns out the wings are made out of wax, and they are just crashing down. And I think they're just passing the Seahawks on their way.
The mythological references there.
Yeah, I think Matthew Stafford's been figured out. And the thing about that is, like, that's okay. Every single quarterback gets figured out. It's the good ones that adjust to that.
Right.
And Matthew Stafford's shown no inclination that he can do it. And if he can't do it with the weapons he's got now, I don't see any way. I think even with the Seahawks scuffling a little bit at the beginning of the season, there are special few teams that are going to come into Seattle on a primetime game and beat a healthy Seahawks team. So I think Seattle wins whether Marshawn plays or not.
Fair enough. What did you think of Thomas Rawls' game?
Oh, I think his performance was legit. Whether he's legit is going to take a whole lot more time to figure out. But one of the things that – I was saying this last night on the Cigar Thoughts podcast is one of the things about Marshawn Lynch is you get the sense when you think of Marshawn Lynch that he runs a lot of people over, right? He's this big, powerful guy that's going to line you up and take you out. But in reality, he doesn't really do that. He's not that big of a running back. But what he's so good at doing is – when there is contact, it's never center mass. No one ever squares him up. He shifts sideways right before contact. And that way, even if he's going down, it allows him to deflect and fall forward. And how many times have you seen Marshawn Lynch fall backwards on a play? Because he gets hit and deflects himself forward for that extra yard. Thomas Rawls was doing the exact same thing. He wasn't trying to juke people out of their jocks in the open field. He wasn't trying to run people over. When contact came, he found an angle for that contact that let him finish forward. And he finished second in the NFL in yards after contact. That is a great performance. So is that who he is? We don't know yet. But I think based on what we've seen, I think it's a legit 6 yards a carry he's getting. It's not buoyed by some big 70-yarder he broke off.
Yeah, exactly. And they were running out of the eye a lot. It was interesting. They didn't run a lot of the read option last week. They just did, like, I guess the whole second half pretty much they were running with a fullback, you know, going up through the gut, like blowing people up. It was kind of fun to watch, actually. I wonder if they'll start doing that a little more often. Stop leaning on the read option quite so much. And
it's definitely an attitude play.
Yeah. I knew that's like that was the thing. Like Tukuafu like fucking killed a couple people a couple times.
Yep.
And I know that Derek Coleman blew some guy up too coming through the line. So that was a lot of fun. You know, maybe they're doing that in an effort to kind of get that edge back. If they end up passing a little bit more, at least maybe this way they'll be kind of hurting people in the run game a little bit more, if you know what I mean. That'll be a fun game Monday night. That kind of wraps up the slate. Let's talk about What are your three against the spread picks for this week, and kind of what your reasoning behind them were?
Yeah, took my ATS picks last week. You went 2-1, puts us at 6-3-1 on the season. You know, I had a tough time with this one because there's a lot of larger spreads, nothing huge, but a lot that are four or more. And, you know, a lot of times I'll feel pretty comfortable about a small favorite. So, yeah, it was tough this week, but I do have Pittsburgh winning, and they're not favored, so that's kind of a natural upset.
Mm-hmm.
I do think the Jets win by more than 1.5 in London. And, you know, the third one that I have, I think Seattle wins by more than 10.
All right. I like it. I would be happy if you got that correct. Well, cool. Special shout out to Maury Povich, who is currently leading our pick'em group of, let's see, how many people are in this group?
I think we're at 125.
123, but there's two of them. 125, whatever it is. Special shout out to him, him or her. They are number one currently right now. They've gotten 34 picks correct. That is in 99.7th percentile worldwide, which is pretty insane.
Global.
He got 9 last week, which was crazy. When that was the week where everyone kind of got effed over by, you know.
Yeah, I think Vegas only won 6 games last week.
Yeah, there were 10 underdogs that won. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. Or that's cool to see Maury Povich representing. Jackson is currently in 15th, tied for 15th right now, making his way up there. I'm languishing down in the 40s. That's all right. Make sure you go to our group. It's called Field Goals, Deep Balls. You can still sign up and join our group even if you've started in a different ESPN Pick'em league. You can still come in and join us. It's a lot of fun. I think people are getting into it. Most people are making their picks. I think there's only a few here that are failing to get their picks in. Do that. Listen to the podcast, obviously. Subscribe. If you're listening to this and you used to be subscribed to Reel in the Field Goals, go find Reel in the Field Goals on iTunes. We changed the RSS feed for that because we wanted to get that onto a different server, essentially. And so now we're using the same RSS feed for that, for this. So if that's confusing, sorry about that. But go ahead and go find Reel in the Field Goals on iTunes and subscribe to that as well. And then also subscribe to Cigar Thoughts. I don't think we have that on iTunes quite yet, but that we will. So keep that in mind. And then also Kenny does a great podcast with Rob Staton over at Seahawks Draft Blog called 3000 NFL Mock Draft. Look that up on Field Goals and on iTunes and subscribe to that. We're definitely trying to get more content out here audio-wise because it allows us to writing just takes so long, so it allows us to get a little bit more content and better time period. Look for those. Again, leave a comment if you have anything for us in the Field Goals article. And, yeah, Jackson, what do you have to add? Anything?
Not a lot. You know, I'm given how much I wrestled with a few of these games, I'm surprised that you and I only disagreed once.
I know, that is kind of crazy. I think this is the most agreeable we've been so far.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, 14 out of 15. So it will be decided tomorrow with Baltimore and Pittsburgh. But, you know, the only other thing I want to add is that I'm really excited to see Golden Tate back in Seattle. Unfortunately, I think that people are going to boo him. I think that's a poor reflection if you do. I'm making a value judgment on all these people. But it, you know, I love Golden Tate. He's one of my favorite players ever to watch. He's himself. He seems to always have been, for better or worse. He seems to just have a blast playing, which is like really what matters to me more than whatever the media perception of someone's personality is.
Yeah.
He seems to really enjoy it. So I wish he was still a Seahawk. I'm happy to see him back. I hope he has a nice game. Even though his team's going to get killed.
Yeah. Word. Yeah, I completely agree. I still like Golden Tate. I think if he were still a Seahawk, you know, it'd be kind of like the thing where he's our asshole. You know what I mean? Because you actually wrote a couple articles about how Golden Tate continues his Piss Off America tour.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just kind of the thing where he's going to piss people off. That's his personality. He likes that. I think he thrives on it. Kind of like Richard Sherman in the same.
But it's like, yeah, it reminds me more of Richard Sherman than say like a Doug Baldwin chip on the shoulder type of thing. Like, I think that it's kind of a playful schoolyard trash talk type of vibe to it.
Totally.
And I dig that.
I don't get, you know, this is kind of a tangent, but I don't get, when did trash talking become such like a negative thing? Like, it pisses people off, I guess, but like, to me, it's awesome. Like, I love players that talk trash.
Oh yeah.
Funny.
Totally, man. Totally. It's the game within the game.
Yeah. I just don't understand, you know, why, I guess there's like this thought now that it's unclassy or that, you know, like we should hate guys that talk trash. Like, look at Steve Smith, dude, that guy is so much fun to watch.
Dude, he's the best.
You know, my love for Philip Rivers is well documented on this. Like, he's a trash talker. You know, there's a lot of guys out there that I really freaking love, like that, just mostly because they're so intense and hilarious when they're playing in games, they're talking trash. So yeah, I mean, to me, that's makes Golden Tate a lot of fun. Like, he's just, you know, showboat and do that kind of stuff. But this is an entertainment business. This is, you know, I don't know why there's sort of this thing now that where if you talk trash, you're a piece of shit or something. Like, I just
think, no, I'm totally tuned into the NFL every week to so that people can be polite. Like, that's what I'm looking for out of my players. That's the draw of the league.
But that, I mean, do you get that same impression? That's kind of a narrative.
Totally. Oh, yeah. Totally. And I mean, I think it's just a byproduct of a 168-hour weekly sports cycle that with, you know, 40 channels that have to fill all of that programming. It's something else that you can talk about, and it generates, you know, the clicks and the comments and sort of riles up the. the keyboard warriors. So, you know, I think it has more to do with like manufacturing reaction than anyone being truly outraged. Like, if you're truly outraged by professional grown men athletes talking trash to each other, that's, you know, maybe sports just aren't for you.
Maybe just, you know, take a deep breath, look around, realize that you're typing away at your computer at someone on the internet. Yeah, it's just a weird phenomenon to me. It bothers me a lot, to be honest. It's like, man, this is supposed to be fun. Like, this is an entertainment industry, you know? Obviously, there are moments to be serious and everything like that. I understand that, but it's like, come on.
Yeah, I'm like not condoning cheap shots or bad sportsmanship, but
for sure, and I am not either.
Talking trash literally is sportsmanship. Like, that's a big part of it for a lot of people. That's that gamesmanship that goes back and forth between two competitors. So, you know, I don't know. It's silly to me that we see it as the negative, but I don't know how many people truly do. I think it just is an easy way to route people up.
Rounding out your point, it'll be fun to see Golden Tate this week. You know, I'm guessing like you're right that they'll probably boo him at CenturyLink and, you know, it'll be interesting to see if it's really, really large boos or if it's just kind of like, you know, the whole Cam Chancellor came back boos, like a few people were pissed about it. Now we can move on. No one will ever be as hated as A-Rod, though, so at least he knows that.
he can't
beat that. So, anyway, yeah, it'll be great. I don't know. I guess that's it, really, for me. You got anything else to add besides that?
No, looking forward to the game tomorrow. And, it's just really good week of football. And nice thing about having the Seahawks play on Monday is just guilt-free red zone all day on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I'll be able to get, you know, close eyes on the Cardinals-Rams game, which I'm really interested in.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and that's another part of this podcast, I think, is like the idea of like hopefully it inspires people to really just appreciate football. Just in general, you know, obviously you kind of get in a fishbowl when you're in like the whole Twitter sphere and blogosphere is very, very, very much like team specific nowadays. So I just think it's cool to kind of encourage people to really just enjoy football in general. I don't think I don't need to convince anyone of that, but like, it's more of just a reminder, you know, that there's going to be a lot of good football this weekend and let's go out and enjoy watching it because yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's a good way to spend a Sunday.
Totally.
All right. Signing off, and we'll talk to you guys next week.